Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We're live in Seattle, Washington, and I am thrilled and honored to be here today. Today we have a special topic. I think all topics are special, but this is particularly close to those of us who live and love animals, live with and love animals. And that is the process of saying goodbye to our animal families, what euthanasia means, the happiness talk that I facilitate for my own animals and for my clients. And I'll give you some stories to give you an idea of what our animal families are thinking as they have an illness or an injury or somehow are approaching the end of their lives. And if you would like to call in and share a story or ask a question or comment, please call 202-570-7057. So I always love callers. And the point of my show and of my work in general is to help everyone understand that we are all naturally intuitives. We are all naturally healers. Most of us just haven't tapped those abilities. So I'm hoping that with most of the stories that I tell in my show and in my practice, that you begin to understand how that works in your life. And one of the most important things is with our animals, as the process of aging and passing away occurs, and of course we all hope that they live long lives with us. So before we jump into that discussion, I'd like to get us all grounded and balanced in this space by focusing on a healing meditation with the crystal Fallon, the citrine Lemurian quartz. Fallon is an ancient healer and truth bringer. And in this hour with us, you can feel community around you. If you just sit back and just allow yourself to relax in the chair. And as you take your attention to the top of your head, imagine that you're connecting with Fallon's energy, the way your intuition works. So you may see pictures, you may hear him chat, you may feel his energy, or you may simply know that you're connected with him. So, and as we breathe down from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and back up again, just release the cares of the day, everything that it took for you to tune into this broadcast, whether it's live or in the archives. And just spend this hour with us, breathing down now from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And just feel yourself settling into your chair, the cares of the day washing away. And now as you breathe up from the bottom of your feet, imagine that energy line reversing, filling you up with healthy energy, moving past your feet, your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head, your crown chakra. So that may be a little lightheaded. That's fine. That's connection to the crystal. At the end of the show, we'll ground you back down into your body so that you can go about the rest of your day. So, again, thank you for joining me today. We're going to talk about the process of saying goodbye to our animal family members, what that can look like, and some tips for you, including ceremonies, happiness chats, and the tough choices that we have when dealing with our animals. Because even the best animal communicator in the world, you know, the telepathic communication, there's just lots of levels that our animals go through just like we do. And, you know, you need to keep digging deep to find out, you know, how you feel, how your animal feels, and not just the two of you or the three of you, but the surviving animals, your surviving human family members. It's a process, right? And it's a process that the whole family shares in. So, you know, I'm pretty open about admitting when I make a mistake. And in fact, I think humans are better by, we just learn better by messing up. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, we don't want to mess up. But when we do, we can take a look at it and say, okay, what could I have done differently that time? Not necessarily better, just differently. And we always want to improve. But instead of saying, oh my God, I goofed up, how terrible, I call it hitching up our soul pants and ordering our egos to learn up. Okay, because our souls are already doing that anyway. And one of the most emotional processes of learning up is understanding what we and our animals are going through when we see that a beloved animal is facing the end of its life. Many years ago, my beloved English Cocker Spaniel Maggie, I don't even know now if she was really dying. I was distraught. She was really sick. We were in a different place. You know, I'd left her at one state, moved back to Oregon. She was sick. And the vet wasn't helping me, and I ended up euthanizing her. And in the moment, that was not the right decision. It was not the right decision for her, for me. And I learned an awful lot from that decision. I regretted it for years because in the moment, I dimly realized that I had done the wrong thing. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be condemned for that. It means that for me and my family situation, that was the wrong thing. And because at that time, I didn't understand what the right thing was, and it took me many, many years to understand what that was. And that was, as a child, my intuition was wide open. I was out talking to trees and land and weather systems and animals, and my family just dismissed it. She's weird, whatever, you know, she's just weird. And I didn't realize that I was doing things like talking with animals. So what I was not doing in those moments with Maggie was asking her what she wanted. It never even occurred to me. And that's why I talk about the process of learning up. It was 12 years before I got another dog. I couldn't even stand the thought of another dog in that time period. It's also a period where I was taking care of my parents through multiple surgeries. I had multiple surgeries myself. I was ill, handicapped. I'm all well now, but it was a long time coming. And what I realized when I acquired my new animal family starting in 1998 was that, you know, realizing that they weren't just dogs, they were family members. And they weren't just family members, but what does that mean? It means they have souls, they have consciousness, they have rights, they have responsibilities, and they have choices. And becoming closer with our animals and understanding that dynamic is why so many of us now are calling them animal family members and not just pets, because we recognize not only that they have souls and consciousness just like us, but that we have this deeper relationship with them and that we can mine that deeper relationship to learn more about ourselves and the world around us as well as our animal family members. So when you're thinking about learning up with your animal families, for me, it was a process of coming to the realization that my animals did have opinions and they did have things that they could share with me. And I just didn't realize it at that time. I was thinking of them more as pets. But looking at animals as family members makes the uncertainty and heartache of losses terrible as it is when we lose humans, and sometimes worse, because many of you know that family and friends don't always honor and support the animal the human animal bond like we do in our lives. So they may not understand the grief that you're going through as you prepare to say goodbye, and then as you say goodbye, and how that grief can linger for years. And I'm not saying not to grieve, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, because I've grieved all of my animals just like I've grieved my humans. And that's appropriate, because they are part of our families. So how do we look at this situation? How do we look at what's going on with our animal families, and how do we prepare them for death? So you know that just like us, animals get sick, okay? So you first and most important thing you need is a trusted veterinarian, someone who can help you know what's going on, that can support you through the decision-making process, whether it's getting vaccinated, getting the animals vaccinated. We can talk about the whole spay-neuter controversy in another upcoming show, all of the kinds of things related to your animals. But most important is if your animal is diagnosed with a life-threatening or life-ending terminal illness, what the process of that is, what it looks like, and how your veterinary team can support you. So most important, have a good, strong veterinarian, someone who will support you right through to the end. Now, there are a lot of good veterinarians out there these days. There are some vets that really only do mobile services, some just for checkups, but there are some vets who do mobile euthanasia. But I've discovered that within my own veterinary clinic that I go to, they're very sensitive to this process of life ending, and it's very difficult for them too. Keep in mind that veterinarians become veterinarians because they love animals, and that the process of euthanizing an animal is extremely hard for them. And in fact, veterinarians have one of the highest suicide rates in the country, in the United States, I'm talking. So be conscious of that when you're dealing with an ill animal. But from my perspective as an animal communicator, I see my role as being the advocate for the animal, because I'm the objective outsider. So I'm not there in the family dealing with my emotions over losing my beloved animal and trying to make decisions. And you can bet when my animals have faced terminal illnesses, I have hired other animal communicators or intuitives to talk to my animals with me, because it's heartbreaking and you're not always in the greatest frame of mind, and having that objective person who can see what the animal's saying and talk back and forth with you, there's nothing that can compare to that. That is important. So I'd also say hire an intuitive to work with you. But, you know, when I talk with an animal, and here's the thing that happens, they're sick, and people ask me to talk to them, what's going on? Well, you know, animals know when they're sick, and sometimes they're really terrified. And of course, why wouldn't they be? We are too, right, when we're really sick. And they don't always know what's going on. So I remember a case where someone asked me to talk to her cat, and her cat was really sick and really feeling bad, had a bladder infection, and I want to die, the cat said. I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand that you're feeling really bad, but this is a situation that can be helped with medicine. You'll feel better soon. Understand that here's how it works. And I explained what was happening, and the animal calmed down. But he was still very, very upset. And when I tried to tell the owner that, well, the cat says he wants to die, but that's because he's scared and he thinks that this pain of this infection is going to go on, and he doesn't want to deal with that. And I tried, you know, I talked him down and so on and so forth. But here's the process. If your animal is sick with something that's making them feel terrible, whatever, I mean, most illnesses do, but if your animal is sick, sit them down and explain to them what's going on. I tried to help with this person. She refused to talk about it, tell him what was going on, tell him that he was going to get better, tell him she understood he felt so bad that he wanted to die, but that wasn't necessary. He did get better, but he would have been a lot better off emotionally and not stewed and fretted if she'd said, I acknowledge that you are in terrible pain, and this is how we're solving it. This is the time frame, and I'm going to be here supporting you through it. So there's that aspect of it. But other times, animals are very aware that death is coming. They know better than we do. I think there are a lot of people that are coming to that realization on their own when they're very sick, but animals are just, actually, I believe animals are more evolved than humans. And I say that from my personal experience. We humans have our biases that get us messed up. Our decisions that we are on top of the food chain and all of those things, and we have all of these practicalities and things going through our heads, and all of the shoulds and the woulds and the coulds. And animals just have their lives, and they're very calm. They remember their past lives much more readily than we do. So they know it's just getting rid of this body. Maybe I'll get another one and come back. It's not that big a deal for them, because they know that their soul goes on forever. We kind of have to convince ourselves of that every single lifetime we choose as humans, because we don't really remember those very well. And that's one of the benefits of past life regression. But I digress. Sometimes when an animal knows it's about to die, it wants help getting out of its body. And that's one of the things that people hire me for. Is it time? Is the animal ready to go? What is it thinking? What is it feeling, right? There was an elderly, critically ill cat that had gone missing to die in his own. Then he discovered he couldn't. He just couldn't let go of his body. And I helped him find his person. And once reunited with his person, he was comforted and offered euthanasia. And he gratefully accepted it and passed on. So that's another thing to consider. So the whole thing that I want to end with before the break is here, is be prepared for all of the different things that your animals can say to you. You usually will have a very good idea of what's going on in their heads. You are the one, after all, who's lived with them for a long period of time, I hope. And you know what they're thinking, and what an animal communicator and intuitive does is just give you that little bit more information. So after the break, I'll tell you some more stories and we'll cover some more territory. Hang on. If you want to call in, 202-570-7057.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Shopping for yourself or loved ones? Check out the best rock shop around, Earthlight Rocks and Gems in Kirkland, Washington. Whether you're looking for metaphysical support or just love nature's art, Earthlight has it all. Raw rocks, crystals, tumbled stones of all kinds, carvings, cabs, fossils, tumblers, rare minerals in all price ranges and books. They also have jewelry, including custom pieces and beads to make your own. Open 7 days a week, the Earthlight store has been around since 1988 and is run by Kim and Todd Valines. Find them online at earthlightgems.com. At Etsy at earthlightgems.etsy.com or on Facebook at Earthlight Rocks and Gems. Have a question? Email Kim at the store, earthlightgems.com. And just for Om Times listeners, receive 10% off orders over $50 at their Etsy account with coupon code EarthlightGems. That's earthlightgems.etsy.com or the store at earthlightgems.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about saying goodbye to our animal family members as they die. So, we really need to be careful about, you know, the process of saying goodbye and what that involves, and really being aware of not just our feelings and the feelings of our other human and animal family members, but what that dying animal is going through. So, you know, I've given you some ideas already today about, you know, what animals could be thinking. And, you know, really look at it as the way you would think. If you're sick and nobody's telling you what's wrong with you, even though somebody knows, you're going to be anxious and upset, right? So be frank and open with them. You know, it may feel kind of silly just talking to them like you're talking to another human because it's a tough subject, and you're maybe not hearing their answer, but that's okay because they're hearing you and it really helps them. And it's also really important to make sure you understand what's going on. And that's why I keep telling people to hire an intuitive for that process. And I'm working with a couple of veterinary clinics in the Seattle area right now on being available for that grief and supportive counseling at the end of life. But a quick example of that is a dog that I worked with years ago was dying really horribly of cancer. I mean, it was horrible. And the owner just could not let go. And I see this a lot. And this is kind of one of the things that I have a little bit of a problem with animal hospice movement, is that hospice and the dying process should be about the dying animal first, not about the people hanging on to them. Because I've seen people hang on to the dying well beyond their desire to be here, to the point of it just being horrifying. So I know we don't want them to go, and I know we don't want them to go too soon either. So, but what is going on? So this person did not want to let go of her dog with cancer, and the dog was her support animal, and it just had come close several times. It was just having horrible issues. And I went in to talk to the dog and talked with him privately and then called the owner back. And the dog was terrified that he was dying, that he had accidentally killed himself. And he was talking about swallowing something really sharp, and it was cut his mouth and everything and all into his gut and everything. And I'm like, oh, my God, I am so sorry that happened to you. Whatever it is you ate, that's awful. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. But that is not why you are dying. You are dying because you have an illness. We cannot stop the illness. It is killing you. And you are very miserable because of that. And the dog was very surprised. I mean, did not realize that it was terminally ill. He thought that whatever he'd eaten had done it. And he had wanted to stay to be the support for his person. He knew she was going to be devastated and also emotionally distraught. And he was her support animal. So there was this tough tie there. He was wanting to do his job for her, right? And also stay with her. And he thought that he had somehow made his life worth less because he had eaten this thing that he thought was killing him. Once I assured him that it was cancer and illness and not what he ate, you could just feel his energy just go, oh, he just relaxed completely and he was ready to go. And in fact, died very promptly after that. But when I called the person back to tell her what I had talked with about the dog and asked, like, do you know of anything sharp that he ate? She's like, oh my God, they had been at the park some weeks before, somebody had dropped a jar of peanut butter, you know, glass jar of peanut butter. And of course, the dog just leaped on top of it and ate it up and just shredded his mouth and tongue and throat and gut with shredded glass. So there was a real reason why this dog thought he had killed himself because of the sharp thing he had eaten. So, you know, you don't really need an animal communicator for that kind of thing if during the process of dying you realize something else traumatic happened to your animal. Explain to them. See, explain to them what is happening and why they are dying. And I promise you, it will help. It will help them move on, and it will help you move on as well. So, you know, treat sick animals and dying animals the same way you want to be treated, with kindness and compassion, and assume they are intelligent, because they are. They will understand you, even if you don't hear them respond to you. But it could mean the difference between a good death and a bad death. And that's important, because souls get stuck on the way to the afterlife from grief, from worry, from this particular dog could well have gotten stuck and not gone on to his afterlife for a time or even at all if he had died feeling he had done something and therefore destroyed the mission that he came here to accomplish. So it's very, very important to be upfront with them. But there are fun reasons for that as well. My beloved soulmate dog Murphy died on March 8th, 2012. And I found out she was dying right after Christmas of 2011. It's a long story to go into right now, but I heard her cough 4 times on Christmas morning, and the cough went through me like a knife, and I realized right then that I was losing her. So I rushed her off to the vet the next day, and she wasn't acting too sick, but in fact she was. And after pushing the vet, we discovered she had hemangiosarcoma, which is a blood-borne cancer, and a cancer that is 25% more likely in female dogs that are spayed early, which is one of the reasons why I am so adamantly opposed to the spay-neuter program that is so firmly entrenched in our modern American and Canadian lives, not so much in Europe. So at any rate, Murphy was dying of cancer in 2012, and she wanted to do what she called walking the mystery, you know, and she wanted me there for that. She wanted to experience the dying process. So I did what I could. I took her to a surgeon, had the surgeon explain to both of us what the prospects were for surgery. Surgery for that cancer only delays the process a month or so. Murphy did not want surgery. I honored her decision. She'd been through enough in her lifetime. And despite what they said, and despite what the doctor said, she was vibrant and healthy until 3 days before she passed. And because I did a new kind of energy work with her, because she was anxious to experience the dying process with her family, with me, with Elkai, her brother dog, and Grace the cat. And it was beautiful. But of course, it was heartbreaking. But Murphy thought she was dying a couple years before that. And then she was 11 years old at the time, and she had suddenly developed really, really painful arthritis, and she was just miserable and couldn't walk, and we had her in, and we figured out that it was arthritis, and we started her on treatment. And this is a dog who had had a lot of health issues her first 5 years of her life, and I'll talk about that whole thing in another time, because there's a lot of things about life in the afterlife that showed up during Murphy's lifetime. But in this particular instance, she's like, oh, I've had enough of pain. I want to die. And I couldn't blame her, because I've had a lot of pain in my life, too. So I said, you know, Murphy, if this pain is too much for you and you want to die, I will help you. I promise you I will help you. I would not make you stick around and suffer. But they have told me that if you take this medicine in about a week or so, you're going to start feeling better, and even better after that. And you could try it and see if you feel better. You know, see what works for you. And she's like, well, okay, I trust you. I'll like hang in there. And she was moping. And so I said, no, I was watching her for a few days. And then I said, you know, if you really want to die, here's the thing. My mom and dad died, and they died, and then we had a party to celebrate their lives. And it was like, what the heck? Why didn't we have a party before they died? So, Murphy, if you want to die, and if you think you're going to die, let's celebrate your life. Let's have your funeral before you die. Let's have a big party with all our friends and their dogs. Of course, you mentioned party to that dog, and she's like, okay. So I planned a funeral for my dog before she died. And you can imagine how many people will show up for something like that, even if your dog has died. So you know how many friends you have when you prep a funeral for a dog who hasn't died yet. Actually, we had quite a few people and dogs here, and it was a tremendous, beautiful time. So in the process, I had people who couldn't come intuitively chat with her, and they would email me or call me up and tell me about their conversations with Murphy. And I could hear this little sassy voice, and someone said, can I offer you energy healing, Murphy? And Murphy, my sassy dog who lives with Sassy Robin, goes, what kind of energy? So she was having a good time, and then we planned the menu, you know, what favorite foods that she was going to have and favorite foods that I would provide for guests. And she was still kind of mopey, and she was still not sure how she was feeling. And I looked at her, and I said, one day she's lying there, I said, Murphy, why don't we have Costco cake for your funeral party? She looked up at me. She eyes were wide, and she goes, I'm going to stay for my party. So now you know it isn't God that saves lives at our house. It's Costco cake. But the point was, I was playing, you know, yeah, I was doing reverse psychology on a dog that wasn't ready to die yet. But I, you know, had to be convinced of that. But also, I was just trying to support her. And the day of the party came, and Murphy was happy, and she bounced from person to person. She was the star, and yes, she got Costco cake, and it was awesome. And as a result of that, this dog, who was in pain, you know, started feeling better with the medicine, and she realized that we were correct. We were telling her that, yes, she would feel better. But she also lived another 2.5 years. And in those 2.5 years, she managed to accomplish the job that she came here to do, not just to be with me, but the cosmic job she came here to do, which is awesome. Our animals are doing these amazing supportive jobs for the world that we have just no clue about. So if your animals are moping and, you know, you find out that they're sick and like the cat that said it wanted to die, you know, tell them what's going on. Tell them how you're going to solve the issue. Tell them what you promise them as you go through the issue. When Murphy's death was upon her, she was so graceful. It was beautiful and heartbreaking to watch, and a model for how we can meet death on our own terms, as she did. And I honor her, and I honor everyone going through that process, because it is extremely difficult. And so, and on to that process, Murphy didn't want me to euthanize her because she knew I had euthanized Maggie so many years before. And she said, you have work to do in the world, and you'll get stalled in your work if you euthanize me, and you won't be able to do any work. So I'll just die on my own, okay? And I honored that until the last afternoon, right at the end there, where we knew her spleen had ruptured. And I picked her up, and I held her, and I said, we are done. You've taken it as far as you can, and I am big enough to not let you suffer anymore. And she was grateful for that, and we had a beautiful farewell, and that was it. And so when you're considering euthanasia, think of your animal as well as yourself, and think of what that process can do to your soul, the dying process, and their souls. And if they're suffering like that poor dog who ate the peanut butter, if they're suffering like Murphy was, why drag it on for 12 or 14 hours? We are beginning to understand that for our human loved ones now, where states are approving people saying, okay, I've had enough, you know. because the process of dying can be soul destroying in itself. So it's a delicate balance. So be open, be listening to your animals and hearing what they have to say about the process, because you will learn. And you, each of your animals are different. My dog Alki, who died 2 years later, he did not want to die. And he was dying of heart failure, and it was painful to watch. But I knew there was no possibility of euthanizing that dog, because he was not willing to go. And so he basically died in my arms as his heart failed. And I almost missed it because I wasn't realizing, and I had him at the ER at the vet's urging, and if I just kept him at home another hour, he would have died at home. But that was the right choice for him because I knew he did not want to die. So it teaches us a lot about that process. Grace the cat had a massive stroke. 5 days later, she looked up at me and said, "I'm done." And I said, "Well, we've got this medicine that you'll be able to like get around the house a little bit." "No, I am done." And I had to fight for her to honor her choice, and that was the right choice. And you will know, your heart tells you, your soul tells you, your brain tells you, and your animals will tell you. It isn't easy, but the process of loving an animal isn't easy either, because, you know, we know that for the most part, that it isn't easy, and it is hard because we love them, and we love them in a very much deeper way than we love humans, because it's almost like we can just release everything and really have that deep, intimate relationship that even a lot of our loved human ones kind of hold a little bit at bay. And I think you know what I'm talking about here. It's just the process of connecting with a soul that's in an animal body that is so willing to be close to us on that mind, body, spirit level. It's a joy, and it's an honor and a privilege to share that with them. And we are ready for the next commercial. Come back. I'm going to talk about the happiness talk to have with them, the ceremonies that you can have to honor your animals as they die and afterwards. Hang on if you have a question, 202-570-7057.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical and Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about animals, euthanasia, saying goodbye here today. So, excuse me, I just suddenly lost my voice. Hang on. All right. So, I'd like to tell you about what I call the happiness talk. A happiness talk is a session that I facilitate between humans and their dying animals. And it can be tough. Most recently, I had a conversation with a couple who were trying to decide if it was time to let their dog go. And their dog was like, yeah, I'm just, it was miserable. Plus, it had a neurological condition that was damaging its, obviously damaging its brain. And while I was explaining this, the one of the people got very angry and was like, you're condemning this little dog to death. No, I'm not. In a happiness talk, in a situation where I'm tuning into the animal, I'm telling you what they're saying and thinking and feeling as best as I can. I leave my personal judgment out of it. I can give them my perspective based on what I've seen in my own family or seen with other clients. But the happiness talk and the discussion about a particular animal, that's me being the facilitator between the human and the animal. And it's an interesting process. And it goes like this. People will come, usually if they come in person in the Seattle area, we do this on Skype. I prefer Skype to phone calls, but I can do phone calls too. Is I want the people to tell me what's going on. So they'll tell me our cat or our dog has this condition, it's gone on this long. We're seeing signs the dog is lethargic, the cat is hiding, whatever. Some of those things that they're seeing, and they want to know, you know, is it time? Should I euthanize them? Where is that? Now, this is an important conversation. They've probably, in fact, always have had a conversation with their vet. And I always make sure that a veterinarian is involved in that. And usually they come to me because the veterinarian has already given them their options. And I also, you know, urge them in any consult on health to take what I say and see to their veterinarian to add that one additional piece of information. But here's the thing. Our animals are our family members. They're also animals, right? And if they're dogs and cats, for example, which are our most frequent companions, they're predators too. So they have biology to deal with just like we do, but their biology makes them predators, which means that they avoid being prey. So they will hide an illness from you. They will try to avoid showing weakness. They will be very stoic, particularly the breed of dog I live, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, very stoic little dogs. They're not going to show weakness, mostly because they don't want to think about it, but also because they're that sensitive. But so an animal that goes off to hide, an animal that shows, you know, isn't showing signs of, you know, exactly how they're feeling. You have to be watching for that too, because you'll notice that they're a little different. You'll notice that their behavior's changed. Remember that as much as they love you and as much as their soul loves you, they're still in animal bodies. So you have to understand how that animal body may be processing the information. So that's one thing. So the other thing, when the people come for this, what I call a happiness talk, I invite the humans to sit down. And I bring the animal in, and I also bring in the spiritual guides, the spiritual team members of all of those, so that I can hear additional things and let them share additional things. So it's sacred space that I create for them, this sacred container that we can have this conversation in and help everyone, so to speak, get on the same page. So the first thing I do is find out what's happening and what the situation is. And then I ask the people to tell me the fun stories, some fun stories, some fun times about their animals. What was a fun story? You know, tell me about your animal. Tell me about your family life with your animal. This is the summarizing. This is you remembering what that relationship was. This is deepening the sacred space where we have this conversation. This is helping both sides remember how they were together, how it was before the devastating death that is upon them showed up. And it is beautiful, and it helps the humans, you know, relax around it. It helps them, you know, remember. It's not anything they've forgotten. It just brings it up to the forefront. It's like it's a ceremony. It's like a funeral before the funeral. And then I ask the animal, tell me some fun stories about your family. Tell me the inside scoop. Tell me how goofy they are, you know, whatever it is, you know, we're getting a feeling for the animal. So one time I had a cat I call Felix, and Felix and his people were there, or Felix wasn't there, but his people were there to try to find out if it was time to say goodbye. And I asked Felix to show me, you know, what were some of his favorite moments. And so I saw this cat racing across the room and then doing multiple backflips and all this acrobatic stuff. I mean, my cat's... I've only lived with two cats, and my current one is my second cat. Yeah, cats are pretty amazing, but that was even more amazing. And I was laughing because he was having such a good time. And I said to the person, I said, telling her what I saw, and I said, well, he's showing me running across the room doing these multiple backflips, and the time frame I'm getting is like 8 or 9 years ago. And they cracked up laughing. Yes, that's exactly what he did 8 or 9 years ago, over and over again. And it was, oh, that's a great memory. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was really cool for them. And I said, well, he's telling me he was doing that to help you in your work. And that made her laugh even harder. Why? Because he was being very acrobatic. And she was a choreographer. So she was getting ideas from her cat's acrobatics. So, you know, that was really great validation for the family that they had this close relationship over time. And the cat was remembering that and raising that as something that he wanted them to remember as he passed on. It was just, it was awesome, right? And here's the other thing, you know, our animals are, you know, again, a lot of them don't want to die. Some of them do want like chemotherapy because they need more time with their people. Some don't want to face any more pain, like my dog Murphy. Some, like my dog Alki, don't want to die. You know, everybody's individual. All animals are individual, just like we're individuals. But it helps to, you know, kind of get a feel for that. But their animals, when they're dying and they've got this happiness talk on them, they sometimes want to know, you know, what else could happen. So while these people are trying to decide whether they should euthanize little Felix, the acrobatic cat, or previously acrobatic because he's pretty wasted at that point, he's nudging me and he's going like, ask her if I can come back as a dog. Ask her if I can come back as a dog. And I'm like, oh, come on, knock it off. Well, you know, how do you be diplomatic and say, okay, yeah, I know you're here about your cat and whether you should euthanize your cat, but your cat wants to know if he can come back as a dog. That's like, wow, you know, that's like United Nations and beyond level of diplomacy, right? And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to say that? So I'm trying to think of a way to say this. And I'm like, finally, I said, you know, what do you think life is going to be like for you after Felix is gone? I mean, what are you thinking down the road? Because, like, I'm trying my best to come up with a line that I can sink this into. And they go, huh, you know, I've had cats all my life. But, you know, the weirdest thing is I just really want a dog next time. And, you know, you just have to crack up. Because I said, well, okay, that gave me the opening, and Felix is over here in my ear just laughing his little cat head off. And I don't know whatever happened, because a lot of times they don't call me up and tell me what happened next. I mean, I do know that they left relieved. They had come to a conclusion. They had told Felix how much they loved and adored him, and that they would promise him an easy death and thank him for being with him. And he thanked them, and it was beautiful. And that's what the happiness talk is all about. Finding closure before you end their lives, if you have to. Finding closure afterwards if they die suddenly. I have plenty of those people who show up because their animal died suddenly and they need a mediumship session to say goodbye. And that's great, because that's what people like me are for. And but the happiness talk is great if you can do that ahead of time. And you can do it on your own. You know, here's my work again, is to help you tap your own intuitive and healing abilities. All of this you can do on your own. You might not hear intuitively as well as the objective outsider like me, because your emotions are tuned in, or you just don't, your intuition doesn't work in that particular way. But you will still, I mean, people don't come here because they're completely taken by surprise. They come to talk because they know something's coming up. They know the end of life is, and they want to know, they want some additional verification of their feelings. They pretty much already know what's going to happen. They pretty much know that they're going to go ahead and help this animal out of its body if they can. And it's not easy, but it is possible to get through it, because of course the first thing that is involved in all of these situations is that you love them and they love you, and that's what life is all about. So when you're facilitating your own happiness talk with your animals or with somebody else, explain to the animal what's happening, like we did in that session. Explain to the animal what happened, what the illness or injury or situation is, and tell them why they are dying. Tell them what it looks like. Tell them what you're doing to help them and why you're going to the vet for this, that, and the other thing. And verify it, you know, tell your family, tell the other animals, make sure your veterinarian has made it clear to you, because sometimes they don't. If I have time, I'll tell you another quick story about Elkai and the dead dog in the veterinary clinic. But and ask the animal what it wants. Again, a lot of them may be very grateful for a handout, you know. And like, Murphy, I don't want to be euthanized because I know it's going to traumatize you. That was a sacrifice that she didn't need to make there at the end, because I grew up and took responsibility for it and told her, it's okay, I'll be okay, because we did it right this time. We did it right this time. I know what you need and want, and you know what I need and want, and I'm going to be okay. You don't have to worry about me. And then she was okay with being, and grateful. My God, the death that she was facing from that disease is worse than, you don't want anybody to go through that, if you can. So be sure you ask the animal what it wants. And let everybody say goodbye and encourage them to. And if people want to offer energy healing, fine. That's great if that's good for you. But make a decision with your animal and honor that decision. And then hold a farewell ceremony. I had that funeral party for Murphy 2.5 years before she died. On the actual day of her funeral, it was just me and the animals. And I turned on the music and we danced around the room and, you know, sent incense down the street. I'm surprised I didn't have a noise complaint, because I know you could hear us 2 blocks away. And Murphy came and danced with me at her funeral. And she goes, my funeral is fun, and I hope that you and your animals have as wonderful a ceremony of farewell as I had with Murphy, but only in its proper time. It's tough to know when the right time is, but you can, by listening here, following these tips, getting the right information from your veterinarian, listen to what your animal is trying to tell you. Listen to the other people in your life who love you and your animal as much as you do. Well, of course, no one can be that good, but close, right? Listen to the people who love you and who care about you and your animals. Get their feedback. Listen to it, and then make your decision with your animal, you know, the one that will work for you and your family. And then hold a ceremony to say goodbye, whatever that looks like to you. Pictures, candles, incense, flowers, a tearful thing, the happiness talk, and hold a funeral when they've died. Tell them they've died and tell them to go to their afterlife, because that's what they need to do. And then give yourself time to recover. Give them time to recover. And you will be able to connect with them. I know that even if you don't think you're intuitive, you may have dreams. You may turn around and see them running across the floor. Believe that it's true, because it is. It was happening to me before I even knew that was possible, seeing my dead dog bounce around the room. It's not your imagination. It's real. They're doing it to comfort you. Your intuition and your heart and your healing abilities are wide open to receive that. Accept that for the grace and the love that it is, a gift to you from them. It is not easy, but it's possible to say goodbye. And remember, too, that you're not just walking your animals and yourself through the dying process. It's how you keep them from getting stuck and continuing to move on through their afterlife. So tell them what's happening. Ask them what they want. They know when death is upon us. They may try to deny it, but more often than not, they try to hide it because that's their nature as predators. It's also their nature as family members who don't want to leave us any more than we want them to go. And they won't be willing to die if they think we can't make it on our own without them. And so tell them that you can. Tell them that you'll be okay. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to walk the mystery with an animal, do it. It is the most beautiful thing. You're lucky that they get to be old. If they get to be old with you, that last walk, that last journey together is sacred. It's beautiful. It's heartbreaking. And I know you can do it because you love them and they love you. Remember that grief is what death and love looks like in a multi-species family. It reminds you that you love and love matters and love is forever. So cross your hands on your heart. Get yourself grounded back into your bodies. Feel that energy grounding you back into your bodies. I'm going to be on vacation the next few weeks. Email me for questions, for intuitive consultations, animal communication, mediumship, soul progression, clearing, robin@robinfritz.com. Thank you for being here. Take care and goodbye.